scripture comes from Daniel. For your information, Daniel means God is my judge. In the third year of the reign of King Jehoiakim of Judea, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord let King Jehoiakim of Judea fall into his power, as well as some of the vessels of the house of God. These he brought to the land of Shinar and placed the vessels in the treasury of his gods. Then the king commanded his palace master, Ashpenaz, to bring some of the Israelites of the royal family and of the nobility, young men without deep physical defect, handsome, versed in every branch of wisdom, endowed with knowledge and insight, and competent to serve in the king's palace. They were to be taught the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned them a daily portion of the royal rations of food and wine. They were to be educated for 3 years, so that at the end of that time they could be stationed in the king's court. Among them were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah from the tribe of Judah. The palace master gave them other names. Daniel became Belshazzar, Hananiah became Shadrach, Meshach, and Azariah he called Abednego. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the royal food and wine, so he asked the palace master to allow him not to defile himself. Now God allowed Daniel to receive favor and compassion from the palace master. The palace master said to Daniel, "I'm afraid of my lord the king. He has appointed your food and your drink. If he should see you in poorer condition than the other young men of your own age, you would endanger my head with the king." Then Daniel asked the guard whom the palace master had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. You can then compare our appearance with the appearance of the young men who eat the royal rations, and deal with your servants according to what you observe." So he agreed to this proposal and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, it was observed that they appeared better and fatter than the young men who had been eating the royal rations. So the guard continued to withdraw their royal rations and the wine they were to drink, and gave them vegetables. To these four men, God gave knowledge and skill in every aspect of literature and wisdom. Daniel also had insight into all visions and dreams. At the end of the time that the king had set for them to be brought in, the palace master brought them into the presence of Nebuchadnezzar, and the king spoke with them. And among them all, no one was found to compare with Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they were stationed in the king's court. In every matter of wisdom and understanding concerning the king, king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel continued there until the first year of King Cyrus.
Let's pray together. Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your holy sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Neil, for wading through that long chapter of Daniel, but it also contains one of the best names in the whole Bible, and that's Nebuchadnezzar. I've always wanted somebody to name their child Nebuchadnezzar, but I haven't heard anybody doing that. I'm starting today a series, a sermon series on the book of Daniel. So we're going to be talking about Daniel from now until November. So we'll be telling these stories about Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar and his time in the king's court, his visions and his stories. And the reason I like Daniel is because it's really a lot of things put together. It's part story, part history, part philosophy and theology, and it also is part apocalyptic vision. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about the end times, because I figure if you want a good story about the end times, just watch the news at 5 o'clock. But I do believe that what Daniel is speaking to is something quite profound that actually connects deeply with our lives. And at the risk of sounding like a broken record, I really do think that Daniel is one of my favorite books in the Bible. Now, it's important just a little bit of history on Daniel. Now, the story that we read today takes place in 605 BC, but it was written and shared with the community in the year 167. Now, why are those two dates important? Well, in the year 605, the Jewish community in the land of Israel was being taken over by the Babylonian or the Chaldean Empire. In the year 167, the Hebrew community or the Israelites were being taken over by the Greco-Roman Empire. So what was happening at these times is that these new kings had come into the neighborhood, they had taken over their land, they had defiled their temple. So in both situations, in 605 and 167, there were all sorts of things happening in the temple. Statues were being removed. New statues were being put up. People were eating pork in the temple. They were setting up statues of their own gods and goddesses. They were engaging in salacious activities. Now, why is this important? Because the story takes place in 605, but is written in 167. So something's happening here. Daniel's telling a story, but without criticizing the Greco-Roman government and empire, he's criticizing the Greco-Roman Empire. That makes sense? Are you with me on this? So he's telling this story that's a bit like a parable without directly speaking to what was happening, but he was speaking directly to what was happening. Daniel and his three friends, they're part of what is said here, a training regiment. But make no mistake, Daniel and his friends were slaves in this period. Now, some interpreters and scholars will tell you that they were part of this three-year training regiment to be installed in the king's army. But what happens in this story as we read it? Immediately, Daniel and his friends, along with other Hebrews that were good-looking and young, is that they were stripped from their own culture. They said, "You're no longer allowed to eat the food that you eat. You're no longer allowed to dress the way you want to dress. You're no longer allowed to wear your facial hair and your hair the way you want to wear it. Oh, and by the way, we're giving you new names." They were in no doubt slaves to King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, what happens in this story is Daniel and his three friends, they stand up against the powers that be. They say to the king, "We're not going to take your fancy wine and your fancy food, but we're going to just have water and vegetables." Now, this is not about becoming a vegetarian, and there's nothing in Hebrew culture that's against wine. So before we say this is a story about against wine, it's not. It's about power and control. It's about Daniel and his friends saying, "We're not going to come underneath your authority because we're under our authority of God." So they abstain from the wine and the meat in this story, and they test the king Nebuchadnezzar. They're standing up against the powers and principalities of their day, and this is where the story of Daniel and his decision begins to intersect with our lives. Now, I think sometimes we read the biblical story and we say it's a story about judgment and rules and restrictions, but if we look closely, I think that the scriptures are blueprints and pathways and roads to living a full and meaningful life. We have to understand the context. These people were living in the middle of oppression. Now, in the year 167, the Greco-Roman Empire was taking over everything. Their entire world was being dominated by this powerful and corrupt king. Everything about their livelihood was being changed. And this was the same story in the year 600. So this is not a new story, but if we read the Bible with this lens, a people being oppressed, looking for hope, looking for a new beginning. Now, let's take that and think about what it means to read a story about the end times, what it means to read a story about the apocalypse. Now, for the Hebrew people, this was hope. We read the story and we say, this is bizarre, and what are these end times? It's scary, it's fearful. But for the Hebrew people, reading this story about the end of the world, this meant that change was coming. And not just this gradual, slow change where we begin to change small systems and stories, but this was immediate, swift, quick, dramatic change. This was hope. This meant that God was taking back the temple. This meant that things were going to change, and they were going to change quickly. And Daniel is telling this story, and it's significant because Daniel is taking a stand. He's choosing a different way. He's picking a side. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that in recent days, at least the last few months, maybe the last year, one of the things that seems to be happening is that we're asked over and over again to choose a side. To pick a side, to say you're either this or you're that. A shift is beginning to happen where we're being asked to take sides, to choose who and where we will stand. Now, the disciples' tradition that I've grown up in, one of the things I often say about us is that the only thing that we're passionate about is being moderate. But the story that we're hearing in the news and from our friends and on Facebook pages is that what side will we choose? Will we stand up to our government, to our individuals? Are you this? Are you that? Will we be somebody who we put up walls and fences and declare that some people are unworthy and some people are illegal? Or will we stand up and say we're all one on this journey? Will we stand with a regime that's on the brink of war? Will we encourage the obliteration of a certain countries because of arrogance and political ideologies? Or will we stand in the middle? And how long will it take us to decide? I don't know how many of you remember high school and the litmus test. Some of you might be further away from the litmus test. But it was a little piece of paper. And you dipped it in a liquid, and it turned red or blue. Interesting choices. But the red indicated that it was acidic. You can go with that if you want. And the back of it, if it turned blue, it was alkalinic. And the purple meant it was neutral. And almost always it was either red or blue. If we follow the story of Daniel and the boys in the king's court, the only way to know if our way is right is to put it to the test. Daniel and his friends said, give us 10 days. Give us 10 days to buck the system. Give us 10 days to do something different and come back and see how things are going. Now, this seems like a big risk to me. 10 days. But how long will it take us? 10 days? A month? A season? A year? This is not putting God to the test, but our values and our convictions being tested, our neutrality being tested, our passion for moderation may be coming to an end. One scholar said, do we become complicit in violence and oppression when we just remain silent? And what do our voices do? Do they mean anything? How about our rants on Facebook? Truthfully, we can be self-righteous, which I'm guilty of, about anything, even our neutrality. I don't watch the news. I'm not even on Facebook. We can make excuses. I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too tired, I'm doing what I can. But in some way, we're being forced out of our comfort zones, ripped from the comfort of our couches, dragged from behind our desks out into the real world. Because the story of Daniel says this, we can eat the king's food, we can follow the king's rules, or we can choose a different way. The path of love, the path of compassion and conviction and integrity, to be a voice for the voiceless, to love those who are unlovable and unloved, to embrace those that our world and our nation and sometimes our politicians have chosen to reject, to seek justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with God, to put it to the test, to see how we are rewarded, to choose love, to choose people, to choose an uncompromising gospel, to choose justice, to choose radical inclusion, and then see what happens. The book of Daniel is one big litmus test. that asks some crucial questions. What life are we living? Where is our allegiance? Are we playing it safe? Are we being guided and moved and inspired and transformed by and compelled by the vision of God? And how is this directing our lives, our actions, our hearts? Could Daniel be our wake-up call? Daniel says, try it out. Give it 10 days. Give it 30 days. Most of us are willing to follow weird diets or give up weird, strange health plans for 30 days. What about following God for 30 days? We leave our story in chapter 1 in a to be continued with Daniel and his friends honoring God. They remain true to their convictions, their heritage, but remaining in the service of the king. While this story takes some interesting twists and turns along the way, it explores the examined and convicted lifestyle. It asks some crucial questions. What happens when we stand up for what we believe? What happens when we trust and act on our convictions? What is the impact of staying true to our callings from God? It also says that incredible things can happen. Looking forward to this story and series on Daniel because it asks some hard questions of us, of how we are going to live our lives, what we will stand up to, what will we be silent to, and how we choose to live. Amen. Let's pray together. Living and loving God, help us to embrace in this season, in this time, the challenge that's presented before us. The challenge that is to be followers of God. Maybe it's not to pick red or blue, but to pick something else completely different. To pick the story of God as the one that leads us. Help us to find our way through that story, through that journey. In your many names we gather, we pray, and we seek to live. Amen.